Awesome. Church, can we just stand, please? Holy Spirit. Lord, we just invite you into this place right now, Father. Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, everything that we do for you. Lord, you saved us for a purpose. Lord, you saved us, Father, because you love us. Because you want us to tell people about you. So, Lord, we just want to give this moment in our service right now over to you, Father. Lord, you are already here. And Lord, we just acknowledge you. We acknowledge who you are, Father. Lord, because it doesn't matter what we do or achieve in life, Father. Everything we do is because you love us, Father. Everything we achieve is because you love us. Because you have given us the gifts and talents to do what we do, Father. Nothing we do is apart from you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You know, church, Isaiah 6 talks about the prophet Isaiah being taken up into heaven. And he's standing before the throne room of God. And he is seeing the angels of the Lord fly around the throne room of God. He sees the altar of God just ablaze with God's glory. And he says these words, I am a man that is undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And the angel of the Lord comes and he takes piece of coal, something that represents the presence of God. And he touches the prophet's lips to symbolize that you are clean before God. You are made whole by your God. In the presence of your God, you are clean. And then the angels ask the question, who will go for us? Who will go and speak the word of the Lord to people? And the prophet says, yeah, I am. Send me. Now, church, some of us this morning feel not right. Some of us this morning feel like we are not worthy to go, that we are somehow not right to go and take God's word. But I just feel right now God would say, you are worthy. I choose you, church, to spread my gospel. I choose you to take this precious life-giving gospel, the most important thing in the entire world, the whole reason why the world was created, to have communion with God, to have a relationship with God, the very, very purpose of the message. The most important message people will ever, ever, ever hear. God says, I choose you to take that message. Not only do I choose you I make you whole. I say to you, there is nothing in your past, nothing in your thoughts that disqualifies you from taking my message. Because I make you whole. I cleanse you with a touch of my presence, with a portion of my presence in the form of Holy Spirit. I make you whole, church. I say you are not disqualified. I say that you can do everything that I have asked you to do. There is nothing that we are asked to do, church, that we do or ask to do in our own strength. Hallelujah. Take your seat. You know, so this morning I want to talk about experiencing the greater through a hungry heart. You know, at my house we have a fire. Penny is the fire marshal of the house because she just loves a fire. And she takes her time crafting that fire. You know, before Penny took over that role, I used to just throw in those white combustible gas things and just light them up, you know. And if one isn't enough, then 10 should do it, right? But Penny, no, she crafts that fire. She takes crumpled pieces of paper, puts them down, takes little twigs, you know, and then maybe a bit of pine wood, you know, because it lights pretty quickly. And, you know, and she lights it. And she watches it, you know, and she stares at it. And she's mesmerized by it, you know. For me, I'm just watching the TV and it's to the corner, you know. It's just a fire. But for her, it's just, she loves it and she looks after it and she puts on the big woods and, you know, all I do is chop the wood. But, you know, and 12 months ago, she sent me to get so much wood, I think that fire could burn the entire winter. And, you know, we still would have more fire left over or more wood left over. But, you know, the thing about fire, it can be a very destructive force. And sometimes I worry because Penny puts so much wood on, that fire comes out, you know. It's like right out there, and which is fun, you know, except one day she's going to burn down the house. But it is also, yes, it's destructive, but if used correctly, brings warmth and comfort. And the thing about a fire is you need three things to start a fire. You need heat, oxygen, and fuel. And when you have those three things right, that fire will just keep burning and keep burning and keep burning. And firefighters know that if they turn up to a fire, they know that in order to put that fire out, they need to either remove the heat, which is what they use water for, remove the oxygen, which is what they use the foam for, or remove the fuel. And I don't know how they do that, but, you know. Back burning is what they do, you know. And every summer, there's always a conversation about back burning. But if that's what it means for a natural fire, you know, and that's what it means to keep a natural fire going, what about a spiritual fire? How do we keep that going? How do we keep that burning so that it doesn't run out? Well, I think, you know, the answer is simple. So sorry, I can't see now half the crowd. So if you're back there, I know you're back there, Nathan. I can't see you, but I'll still try and pick on you. Yeah, right, there you are, right there. To keep that fire going, all we need is a touch from Holy Spirit. But you know what? I don't believe that all we need is just one touch from Holy Spirit. In actual fact, the Bible doesn't say all you need is one touch from Holy Spirit. You know, just like one full tank of petrol in your car doesn't let you drive everywhere. You've got to stop. You've got to fill. And one Krispy Kreme donut is not enough to fill you for more than 2 minutes. Well, for some of you, it's enough to fill you for, you know, the rest of your life because you haven't touched that amazing, beautiful, crispy velvet donut. For me, it's more like 30 seconds. That's why Penny keeps me away from it. But that's all you need. You know, it's not about, I've just had one touch from Holy Spirit, so yeah, I'm good. The whole role of Holy Spirit isn't just to come and say, right, touch you once, you're good. No, it's about touching us, filling us, so that as we live our lives, as we go through our lives, we can survive the ups and downs of life because we have the power of God right beside us, actually right in us. That's the whole role of Holy Spirit, to allow us to live the life that God has asked us to live, so that we can show the love of God in all situations and all circumstances that we find ourselves in. It's the reason why people can come up to you and go, how did you get through that? How did you survive that? How do you keep yourself focused when you're going through that? Or you've been through that? Or what an amazing testimony you have. And as good as we think we are, it is not us. That's the role of Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4. So this morning, my title of my message, if you would, is We Experience the Greater with a Hungry Heart. Oh, wait, is it through a hungry heart? No, with a hungry heart. Yeah. Acts 2:4 says this. So this is the disciples. They've just seen Jesus taken up to heaven. And so they've walked back and gone into the upper room. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:31. Now, Acts 4:31 obviously happens after Acts 2:4 and after, you know, 3,000 were added to their numbers. And Peter and John, yes, had just healed a man. And they were told off by the Pharisees and warned within an inch of their life not to preach in the name of Jesus. And so they go back and they tell the story. And what do the disciples do? What do? They pray and seek God for Holy Spirit. And when they were prayed, that place was where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word with boldness. They were all filled again. Once again, they desired a touch from Holy Spirit. They desired a touch from God. Now, the Bible doesn't say that some of them walked out of that place saying, what was that for? You know, I've already been touched by God. I've already been touched by Holy Spirit. I don't need it again. You know, none of them walked out saying, well, don't people read their Bibles? Acts 2:4, we were touched, and now we've been touched again. You know, no one said that. Because they desire a touch from Holy Spirit. And one touch from Holy Spirit is not enough. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. This is the Amplified version. So they put words in there. For that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Now, this particular verse, Greek scholars and Bible commentators all agree. Well, you know, being commentators, not everyone agrees, but the majority of them say this, that for this particular piece of scripture, that the Greek present imperative tense is used in this verse. Now what, you know, I only went to year 12, you know, I only done a diploma in leadership. But I mean, the Greek present imperative tense, it's sounds like they're just making words up. Sounds like they're just putting words together to make themselves sound smart. Doesn't even make sense. But the connotation of that verse is that it's not just be filled with Holy Spirit. It's be continually filled. You had a touch last week. No, that's not enough. Get before God and have another touch. Be filled with Holy Spirit again. Because what you had yesterday is not meant for today. God wants you to be filled again and again. I've read this book a while ago by, I can't remember the author's name, but it was on Smith Wigglesworth's life. So Smith Wigglesworth, I think he died in 1940, and he was a great faith healer, man of God, moved in the Spirit. His biographer tells this story. In 1922, he was invited to New Zealand. I'm not sure why he went to New Zealand, but anyway, we'll ask God that. But he was invited to New Zealand. And these 10, 12 churches, they didn't quite get on, but they got on enough to say, hey, let's bring Smith Wigglesworth in. And so Smith Wigglesworth comes in, and they have a prayer meeting. And the biographer says that the 10 or 12 ministers all come together. And he said it was interesting watching them pray. Because while some were very, very genuine, it seemed that some of these ministers were playing one up with their prayers. And so the prayer meeting just continued until eventually Smith Wigglesworth stood and he began to pray. And the biographer said, the presence of God that fell on that place was amazing. It was intense. You could not stand in the presence of God. All the while, Smith Wigglesworth prayed. And as he prayed, ministers, one by one, instead of standing in the circle, took a step back because they couldn't stand in the presence of God. And as much as they tried, they took a step back. And they were all taking a step back further and further to get to the door, to get out of that to get out of that prayer meeting. Because the presence of God was so tangible. The heat, the light was so intense. People just couldn't stand. You know, what made me laugh as I was reading this, the biographer said, "And I did not want to leave the presence of God. So I held on to the back of the chair. But I ended up just dragging it with me because I couldn't stand in the presence of God." We are all. That is not, that type of prayer life is not reserved for anyone. It's not that Smith Wigglesworth just, God decided, you know what, you're my man and no one else. That's not the way it works. Smith Wigglesworth realized one touch from Holy Spirit is not enough. I need to spend time in the presence of God. I desire to spend time in the presence of God. Smith Wigglesworth says this: "The secret of spiritual success is a hunger that persists. It's an awful condition to be satisfied with one's spiritual attainment. God was and is looking for hungry, thirsty people." So why was the early disciples so on fire for God? Why is it that the gospel just spread? And they were focused on spreading that gospel. That was it. That was all that they were interested in. I believe it was their hunger for God that drove them. Their hunger to do everything that God had asked of them to do. Their hunger because they believed in who Jesus was, or is, sorry. They had a revelation of who he is. And because they had a revelation of who Jesus is, or who Jesus was, I'm not sure if I'm using the right grammar there. I keep looking over to my school teacher and she's not saying anything. But they had a revelation of Jesus. And it drove their hunger to do everything he'd called them to do. Yeah. I was working at Australia's Wonderland. I'm not sure if any of you remember that place. Well, I worked there. I was one of the first employees. I also got fired from there. And so I used to operate four rides. The Endeavour, which was, kind of like a pirate ship, except it spun this way. And the Tasmanian Devil. And it was, you're sitting in a car and or whatever it is, and the car moved like this, but the ride spun like that. And, on around 8:30 on a Saturday night, or 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon, half an hour before the park closed, people would rush to their favorite rides, and they'd get on the ride, and then, we'd spin them around, woo, yeah, having a good time, let me know, lift your hands, and they'd lift their hands, and we'd do all crazy things, and they'd do it. But the ride would finish, they'd get off, and they'd run. And line up again. They'd do it again. We'd think, fantastic. But they would, you'd hear them go, "Oh, I love this ride. Come on, I love it. See, when something you enjoy, you love, you have a hunger for, just one ride, one touch is not enough. You just have to do more. Have to go more. Go one more step. Hunger is a powerful motivator, church. In every area of our life, it's a powerful motivator. And when it comes to our walk with God, hunger for the things of God will see you never satisfied with where you're at. just like heat and oxygen keeps a fire burning. To keep the fire of God burning in our lives, we need to be driven by the hunger, our hunger for God, driven by our desires to do what God has asked us to do, driven by our desire to be the men and women of God that He has called us to be. And we're all called to be His witnesses. Acts 1:8 says. What does Acts 1:8 says? It says, but you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. We are called to be His witnesses. We are called to show people, tell people, demonstrate to people the love of God. And when we do that, church, when we demonstrate who Jesus is, when we let the light of God that is in us shine out, that is how we make disciples who make disciples. But it all starts with having a hunger for God that is not easily quenched. It all starts with having a hunger to do what God has asked us to do. And when we do that, when we hunger after God, we begin to experience the greater. We begin to experience everything that God has for us. You know, if I was to say today, what do we need to do to see God move? And all of us would have the right answer. Well, the wrong answer would be to eat Krispy Kreme. But, you know, the right answer would be something like pray. Read the word. Pray in tongues. Seek God. Love Jesus. We'd say all the right things. And we would say that those things are disciplines in our lives. And we would say that it is important to add those disciplines to our lives. We would say that when we add those disciplines in our lives, God moves. And that's right. You know, it is 100% correct. But you know, when we have a discipline, sometimes, most of the time, I would say all of the time, there is a part of that discipline that has a "I have to" component to it. If I want to see God move, or I want to be better at something, then I have to do this. If I want to see something happen, well, I have to do this. If I want to be a leader, well, I have to make disciples. If I want to lead a group, well, I have to get a revelation to share. If I want to be a pastor, then I have to love people. And there's nothing wrong with that, and God honors that. But I want to ask, church, what happens when we go from "I have to" attitude to "I want to" attitude? When we go from turning a discipline into a desire? See, because when we turn a discipline into a desire, then what we're doing is we're saying, I don't care what's happening right now. I want to be in the presence of God. I don't care what's going on in my life. I desire to spend time with God. I want to be there. And when we turn a discipline into a desire, spending time with God happens all the time. When we turn a discipline into a desire, reading the Word of God, it's not like just words coming at you and you're not understanding. When you read your Word of God and it's a desire, you desire this life-changing revelation. Life-changing revelation that you can share with other people. Life-changing revelation that causes your light to shine brighter because you have a greater understanding of who Jesus is. Because you have a greater revelation of who He is. All of that happens when we start to turn our disciplines into desire. And yes, it's a journey that we all have to go on. Not one of us can say that I mastered that. And that's a good thing, because the Christian life, it is not about attaining perfection. It's about progress. It's about going on a journey with Jesus. Our hunger for God produces a passion for the lost that is not easily lost. Our hunger is what fuels our Christian growth. Our hunger is what fuels our desire to do what God has asked us to do. Matthew 4:19, which is fast becoming my favorite scripture. I'm not sure if you can have favorites. It's almost like having favorite kids. Yeah. Maybe not. It's the one that is speaking to me the most. Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. It starts with Jesus. You know, sometimes when we use the name of Jesus, it sometimes becomes a cliche. It starts with Jesus. But it is so true. Everything we do starts by following Jesus. If you are not following Jesus, then you're doing it in your own strength. Yes, you may be a great orator. You may be able to draw people to yourself, and you may be able to, you know, build great groups and whatnot. But if you, me, us as a church, if we are not following Jesus, if He is not our focus, if we are not hungry to become disciples of Jesus every single day, then we're doing it for our own purposes. I just want to quickly talk about five things about hunger. Says the band comes. Hunger doesn't just happen. Hunger for God is a choice. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you." All these other things are the things that we normally worry about in life. All these other things are the things that sometimes take our attention away from Jesus. Take our attention away from serving God. Some of these other things are just life. And sometimes life gets in the way, or can get in the way if we let it. But when we make a decision for God, when we make a decision to seek God's kingdom first, our hunger for God becomes a choice that we make. Hunger can be satisfied if you let it. If you think, I've got enough. I was filled with Holy Spirit last week again, or last year. I'm good. Hunger can be satisfied if you let it. The Bible says, don't let it be satisfied. Ephesians 5:18, be filled continually. Hunger after Holy Spirit, hunger after God continually. Hunger after being disciples of Christ continually. Hunger is infectious. The hungrier you are, the more people notice what God is doing in your life. The more God says, hey, I want you to have the same. Can't tell you how many times Pastor Rick has just inspired me by how he lives his life. Hunger is infectious. Hunger is personal. You cannot live your Christian life based off someone else's revelation. You have to have your own revelation of who Jesus is. We do not disciple from the pulpit. We do not tell you how to live your life from the pulpit. We encourage you, but at the end of the day, we are trying to point you to Jesus. At the end of the day, we are saying, Jesus is the only one that will help you through your situation. Because you need to get a revelation of who He is. You need to get a revelation of why it is that all these people for the last 2,000 years follow Him. And it's not because it's a good idea. You need to get your own revelation of who Jesus is. Because it is from that revelation that your hunger burns. It's from that revelation that your hunger grows. And the last thing about hunger. Hunger comes because you are already full. Oh, I can see you now. Hunger comes because you're already full. Because you already experienced all that God is. And when you experience all that God is, when you have a revelation of who Jesus is, you realize, I have to have another touch from Holy Spirit. Because I cannot do what He's called me to do by myself. I need Him more. And when you realize you need Him more, you realize you need Him more. Don't ever get complacent with where you are in God. Don't ever think, yeah, I've done enough. Don't ever think, I've done my time. Because your time is not controlled by you. Your time is controlled by God. And He decides when you're done. And when you say, I'm done, what you're saying is, I'm not interested anymore, God. I'm happy to just sit on the sideline. And that is not why Jesus hung on a cross. That's not why He gave His life for. He gave His life for us so that we can shine the light of God in every and every circumstance and situation. Can we stand, please, church?